one thing to always keep in mind is that software is complicated, right? I mean, it's easy to set up a server. It's hard to set up a server that is necessarily secure, especially when you're trying to do it on the cheap, which a lot of people do.
This is Podtech News for Thursday, August 31st. I'm Matt Kelly. That was Lauren Weinstein, co-founder of People for Internet Responsibility. It seems every day we hear of yet another security breach in the digital landscape, whether it's an online retailer announcing they've been hacked, an individual having their identity stolen, or the voiding of Barbara Streisand concert tickets purchased with a stolen credit card and then resold on the internet. Just this past Monday, here in Los Angeles, a 23-year-old hacker received a year of home detention and a $10,000 fine for breaking into the systems of T-Mobile USA and lifting the personal details of around 400 people, including a U.S. Secret Service agent. While over the weekend, AT&T announced the company's computer system was accessed by an unauthorized individual who obtained the credit card data of some 19,000 customers who had previously used AT&T's online store. According to PrivacyRights.org, a nonprofit consumer information and advocacy organization, the number of records containing sensitive personal information involved in security breaches since 2005 totals over 91 million, the latest being announced from Compass Health in Everett, Washington, which on Tuesday notified some of its clients that a laptop containing personal information, including social security numbers, was stolen in late June. So what's going on? Are we under attack from those who seek to steal our personal information more than ever before? That's just one of the questions I had for Lauren in our phone conversation.
No, I don't think we're really under attack more in any particular way. What we're really looking at more, I think, than some kind of quantum increase is that the general shabbiness of the security infrastructure that we have on the web and in various other aspects of our technology is just becoming a lot more obvious than it was before.
These e-commerce businesses are certainly aware of the threat that they face. How are they being so susceptible?
One thing that's happened is there's been a change in scale in some respects. So if you normally, the kinds of information you get off of one PC, if you're a crook and you're scrounging for information, is going to be not in great quantity. On the other hand, if you attack servers, that's where a lot of information tends to be stored. And unfortunately, a lot of server systems just are not very well designed and leave customer information on the publicly accessible servers in a way that they really shouldn't be. In other words, after you've performed a credit card transaction, there's no good reason for that credit card information, especially intact, to stay on that server at all. I mean, the right way to do it is to move that data off to another computer that doesn't even have any visible accessibility to the external internet, to the public internet. If you leave that information sitting on a server in an application that has public access, you've created the potential for a vulnerability if a flaw is discovered in that server. If the information is not on that server, then even if there's a flaw, the damage that can be done is very limited. And the issue with servers is they aggregate the information. Rather than one person's PC with information about one person, you could have thousands or tens of thousands or even more people's information from a vast quantity of transactions, all sitting on one server and all vulnerable to a single attack.
But how can we depend on these companies to protect our information once it's left our site and entered their site?
Well, fundamentally, that's not really an internet question at all. We face the same question exactly in all of our transactions that are non-cash, basically. Anytime you use a credit card, you take the credit card down to the local pizza joint, and there's no telling what the person who takes that card for a second may do with it. And of course, there have been incidents of people who use credit card, little quick credit card readers to swipe the card through, glance at the security code on the back, and voila, they have a new credit card sequence that they can sell or use. So that's not just an internet issue, that's also a stone and mortar issue, and speaks more generally to the fragile nature of the entire structure we have of credit cards and debit cards and all that, that are not very secure. I might add, in passing, I don't use debit cards that remove money directly from your checking account, because those kinds of cards, in distinction from ATM cards that have a PIN associated with them, the Visa, MasterCard branded check cards don't have a PIN and can be abused by anyone who gets hold of the information on the card without any kind of password or PIN at all. And there, they're removing money straight out of your bank account, your checking account, sometimes from the linked savings account. And while the banks will say that, oh, well, you're protected, we'll make it the money good, we'll put it back in your account, blah, blah, blah. Well, yeah, that's true, but it's an awful lot of hassle, and by the time you realize what's going on, you might be bouncing checks all over the place because your account's been cleaned out. Also, interestingly enough, with all the talk about massive thefts of people's personal information, like the VA case and things like that, in reality, the number of cases where those kinds of mass, what I would call opportunistic thefts of people's private information have been used for real identity theft are very, very small. In fact, possibly non-existent. I don't know of a case right offhand where that kind of information that came out of a big mass like that, that got from a stolen tape or something of that nature, was actually used for identity theft. There are certainly cases where people have stolen information out of servers and used those for false credit card purchases and things like that. But when it comes to identity theft, more often it's much closer to home and involves someone stealing mail or often people that are acquaintances of the people or relatives of the people who suffer the identity theft, because they have access to much more information than just what they would get out of a single computer tape or something of that nature. So it's easy to get kind of blinded by the science on this and go, gee whiz, this is all an internet problem or a web problem. And the problems in the web and the internet space are very real and very serious. But it's also very important not to forget that the more mundane aspects of the way we do commerce can be equally or worse problems in terms of equal or worse problems in terms of the vulnerabilities.
Where can a consumer go if they, you know, suspect that their information has been compromised either through identity theft or through one of these corporate hackings?
Well, normally when someone nowadays, especially with the way the laws are now, when companies have found one of these in states where people are required to be notified, they will normally also be notified about going to the credit agencies and things like that to put credit watches on their credit reports and other kinds of verifications that they can do on an ongoing basis. How useful those are in reality is sort of a different question, but it certainly gives people an added sense of security. But beyond that, if you're going to use credit cards and you're going to use the web and you're going to do these things, there's always going to be vulnerabilities there. And from the consumer end, your ability to impact these problems is fairly limited, other than to just say, I won't make the purchase. The best thing is just to always keep in mind that not all e-commerce sites are created equal. And just because a site looks pretty and looks professional doesn't mean that it's any safer than one that's much more basic. Certainly you want to always pay attention to the minimal security things that you should, like making sure that if you're on a page that's taking credit card information or such, that it's ostensibly a secure page, either by looking at the little padlock icons or whatever other mechanism that's used to indicate that security has been enabled on the page. That only tells you about the security of the connection. It doesn't really tell you anything about the security of the server, though, unfortunately, and the server is where the problems tend to be. And beyond that is just be diligent. Watch your bank statements and watch your credit card statements, and then if something goes wrong and you think that the entity you were dealing with messed up, scream very loudly.
Lauren Weinstein is co-founder of People for Internet Responsibility and the International Open Internet Coalition. For Podtech News, I'm Matt Kelly.